We've been talking about money, how to get some, how to keep some. Money raises a lot of ethical issues, but there are all sorts of other ethical questions that we face every day. And O, the Oprah magazine, addresses those daily moral dilemmas in their Now What Do I Do column. Joining us to talk about this month's edition is Jan C. Dunn. She edits the Now What Do I Do column. Also with us today is Pastor Rudy Rasmus. He leads the St. John's United Methodist Church in Houston, and he's part of the O magazine ethics panel. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Pastor Rudy, let's jump in with you. There's a question about what do you do if you find out that a colleague is cheating on his or her expense reports? What did you say?
Well, I told the readers that the colleague is really affecting not only their future, but affecting the future of every employee and even the company.
Pastor, you said in your response that we're now in a no-snitch world. And, you know, we've done a lot of reporting on this question of this whole no-snitch ethos that seems to have taken hold in some communities. But then other people would say, well, what's the difference between rejecting that no-snitch ethic and just being a tattletale?
Well, you know, in a no-snitch world, regardless to who's doing wrong, even if the wrongdoer is next door to you, no one snitches, no one tells. Being a tattletale is a little different in today's society, and there aren't very many if we really told the truth.
Jancy, was there a lot of debate about this question?
No, actually, it was unanimous. Everyone agreed with Rudy and said that the issue wasn't whether to speak up. They all thought it had to be done. It was really about how to do it. So most of them said to take the person aside quietly, tell him or her that you're on to them and that you're worried for their future if this gets noticed. They did say to give them a chance to straighten up before you go over their head, but you have to do something. As one of the panelists, Michelle Weatherald, says, in today's post-corporate scandal, post-Enron kind of world, it can be more risky to turn your head on wrongdoing.
That is a very interesting point. That's a very interesting point.
What really brought the question really home for me was an incident that had happened on our school campus. And there's a classroom of first graders. And one student, one six-year-old, a five-year-old actually, brought some contraband to class. Got caught with the contraband only the next day after one student accidentally told her parent that the student had brought something to school. The next day when the teacher confronted the classroom, no one came forward in a room full of five-year-olds. And that's how deep the ethos, the no-snitch ethos, is really drilling into our society.
I think, though, some people would argue that the reason that they don't want to get involved is that they're worried of negative consequences for them. They're worried that they will be harmed in some way, that they'll be dragged into some mess that they're not prepared to deal with. What would you say to someone who had those fears, which I think, frankly, in some communities are legitimate?
Well, I agree with the other panelists in that the first line of discussion should be with the person who's actually cheating. And if that conversation doesn't go right or go in the direction that it should, then maybe some consideration for a next step. But I believe in that moment, I always believe in taking the offense to the offender.
Pastor Rudy, I bet this is something that you confront being a minister, head of a congregation. And I bet you a lot of people cracked up when they read this question, thinking, oh, yeah, absolutely. Somebody is getting married. You only find out by receiving an email. Do you still need to send a wedding gift?
Well, you know, it depends on the relationship, your relationship with the bride and groom. I think if you're close to them, regardless of how you found out, then yes. If you accidentally received a general email that went out to 7 million people, then maybe you're off the hook. But if you're friends with the person, you know, hook them up.
Jancy, why do people get so worked up about this stuff? I mean, that this whole send a gift. Seems to tear people up every year around May and June, graduation, wedding time. People are like, do I send it? What do I?
We get a flood of questions about that very thing. I mean, it just touches on emotions and money. And, you know, there's a generational difference between the whole email announcement thing. It just gets a lot of people who are a little older really worked up because they feel like it's maybe a little.
Emails are tacky.
Yeah, that it's a little tossed off, you know, and.
But some people put a lot of effort into those evites or email announcements. They put as much, I mean, you know, you see people laboring over their computers.
My mama would never find out if it was an email invite, all right? So there are a lot of folk out there who just would not and are not connected to the rest of the world through technology. But I think this question also boils down to money in many regards. Where a person spends their money is really closest to their heart. And who they spend their money on is even more close to their heart. So when the issue comes up as to whether or not we buy a gift or not, I think in many cases the real question is, am I going to spend my money on this person?
Mm-hmm. The only thing I was going to say is that it just seems like some people just assume that if one sends an announcement, it's a bid for a gift. And I just resist that explanation. Why do people assume that? I mean, maybe they just want you to know something big happened. I mean, if you send people a Christmas letter, that doesn't mean you're soliciting for a present. I don't know. What do you think, Jancy?
Michelle, have you ever gotten an email that has a link to the registry right in the email? I've gotten a few of those, and that's when I delete them. I delete them. I really do. That's where I draw the line.
Did the panel disagree about this?
They did not. They basically agreed that these sorts of emails, like it or not, no matter what generation you're from, are here to stay. So you should instead focus on your relationship that you have with the person. If you're close, you care about them, send a gift. Don't worry about how you heard the news.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're talking Everyday Ethics with Jancy Dunn and Pastor Rudy Rasmus, part of the ethics panel for O, the Oprah magazine. And let's move on to another question somebody wrote asking, do you have to tell your old hairdresser if you've decided to move on? Now, Pastor Rudy, you mentioned that you don't have hair, but you do have an opinion about this.
It's been a long time since I've had hair, so you know this is kind of a remote concept for me. But one thing I do know about hairdressers, my wife goes to one, there is a lot of information shared between client and hairdresser. You know, which really, in many cases, makes that hairdresser almost part of your family. You know, as a matter of fact, everybody I talk to, I kind of, you know, began to ask people with hair, you know, their opinions on this question. And everybody I talk to, regardless to age, even regardless to ethnicity, all responded the same way.
What did they say? What's your advice on this? How did you put it all together?
I basically said that, yeah, if you've been with a person for 13 years and you found someone that did something new and exciting to your hair and you just wanted to go down the street to that new and exciting place, I said it would be fitting to tell the person who you've been in a relationship with for 13 years that you were going down the street.
What are you saying? It's not you, it's me.
He obviously
hasn't been dating in so long. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about, right? He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. It's the classic lies. Yeah, exactly. You just say, no, it's not you. It's me. It's my issue. I don't deserve you. That's how you roll. Jancy, did you notice a debate about this question? And was there any gender difference?
There was one dissenter who said that a hairdresser is not your life partner, even though they know the real color of your hair, and that it's a business and you can walk away from this without explanation. But the others really disagreed and said that 13 years, over a decade, it is an extended conversation. And so you should call if you can't bring yourself to do that, which I probably couldn't, send a note, which is perfectly fine. Another panelist pointed out that the old hairdresser needs to know that she can take on a new customer to replace your friend. You know, especially in this economy, losing a customer may mean a bill might not get paid. You know, and that is relevant for any sort of service provider, a hairdresser, dentist, therapist that you've been seeing for a while.
Good point. But so what did people recommend that you say? Would it be that you, I've just found somebody else, or would you offer a critique and say, I don't dig you anymore? I mean, ouch.
It was mostly emphasizing appreciating that person. But is there, Rudy, I would ask you, you know, can you be strictly truthful? Is this the case where you could put in a little white lie like, hey, found someone closer to my house or something?
You know, in my profession, mm-hmm. I try to stay away from the white lies, what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Oops.
I was going to say, that was the wrong guy to ask.
But I do believe that the truth has merit.
Jancy, finally, was there a question this month that really elicited strong disagreement among the panel?
There's a neighbor of one of our readers that covers her house in tacky decorations for every single holiday, and everyone has one of those neighbors, you know. And half of them were saying, you know what, if it really bugs you, if you have a friendly relationship, you can kind of gently tell her to maybe crank the whole enterprise back a notch. But the other half, it was broken right down the middle, said it's her house. This country was built on freedom of expression. You don't like it? Move to one of those scary gated communities where they tell you what color you can paint your mailbox flag. Yeah.
Why is this an ethical question?
It's really more of an etiquette question, but ultimately it strays into the ethical area in that you're kind of considering, I don't know, you're raining on the parade of your neighbor who maybe is really exuberant and thinks that everyone loves it. And it's about kind of caring about them and being neighborly.
This is a shame because I am so in favor of the tacky decorations. Okay, now the Christmas tree up in March, I'm against that. Other than that, I'm all for it. Pastor Rudy, what'd you say?
You know, I said it's hard being, it must be hard being a style vigilante. I mean, for the neighborhood. And, you know, I've lived in a lot of neighborhoods, and sometimes folk can go over the top. But really, at the end of the day, it's their house.
All right.
And they can do what they want to with it.
Pastor Rudy Rasmus leads St. John's United Methodist Church in Houston. He's also part of the ethics panel for O, the Oprah magazine. He joined us from member station KUHF in Houston. Jancy Dunn edits the Now What Do I Do ethics column for O, and she joined us from NPR's New York Bureau. Thanks to you both.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.